Okay, so I understand it's been 3 years since your last visit to Sydney. So tell us, what have you been working on since 2013?
Oh, well, we had a bit of time after the tour, I guess, to sort of regroup. And then we got asked, actually, to do some music for a theatre production in London for the Greek tragedy Medea. So it was really interesting to step out of the studio and step into a rehearsal room with loads of actory people and kind of get involved in a whole other process.
Okay, so the creative process would have been different.
Yeah. I mean, in some ways there were similarities. You know, there was a lot of improvising, which we do a lot of improvising to get where we go, and. But it was amazing. It was also kind of a bit of a holiday, you know, from trying to come up with everything from scratch to actually have a kind of to fulfill a certain vision that someone else has already prepared for you.
Okay, I can imagine. And I know this year marks your 17th year of making music. How would you say the music industry has evolved since the year 2000?
Well, it's completely turned upside down. You know, now the record companies have become very much diminished in their power. They're no longer the kind of gatekeepers of musical distribution. Music is out there distributing itself amongst everyone. And in some ways, that's a great thing. In other ways, it's tough. And music is something that, to make music, it takes resources. And if there aren't any resources left to pay for it to happen, then it becomes slightly diminished. And I think that some people are citing musicians as the kind of canary in the mine for lots of other parts of our kind of life.
Sorry, would you say the industry has become a little bit more cutthroat?
Well, I don't know that it's cutthroat. I think it's just the fact that there is so little protection for, you know, the freedom of movement of people's music. I mean, it just once it's out there, it's kind of on everyone's phone, it's getting sent around, and consequently, the whole element of live performance became hugely more significant, hasn't it, in the last 10, 15 years, because that is where people are able to sort of reap the rewards of their work, because no one is buying it anymore. I mean, particularly, I'm as guilty as the next one of, you know, listening to music on YouTube, and YouTube pay some, you know, tiny amount, don't they, for music. Mm. So we're struggling. But at the same time, it's kind of brilliant because if you want to hear a piece of music from any, you know, part of recorded history, it's there under your fingers in seconds, isn't it?
So it's become very, very easily accessible.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. I mean, what do you think? Do you think it's a good thing or?
I think it is a good thing because it is like just at our fingertips, as you said. It encourages people to go out and find music and explore music because you can do so very, very easily and very, very cheaply. And because of that, you're exposed to way more in terms of like genres of music and in terms of platforms of music as well. But that's just my idea.
Well, I think you're right. I mean, I think it's a bit annoying. You see, the problem is that there's probably three people in the world who are benefiting from it. You know, the guy that owns Spotify, the guy that owns YouTube, and the guy that owns Google. And these people are having a great time. But, you know, before there were many thousands of people that were benefiting. And now it's only, you know, a tiny handful. And that is a bit of a worry because that's not just going to be music that's in that position. It's going to be all kinds of other industries and, you know, all sorts of shops are closing left, right and center because of Amazon. You know, I think there has to be somebody who's got to wave a flag at some point and say, whoa, you know.
We've definitely already felt the effects of that. I remember seeing a lot more CD stores when I was younger. I hardly see any anymore.
So, oh, yeah. CDs are dead, aren't they?
Mm. So you've recently said in a press release, I think writing an album is like being lost in a wood. You're trying to figure out an interesting path. You don't know whether it's going to be a dead end or somewhere interesting, and you never know where to stop because around the corner some beautiful vista might open up. With the direction that you've taken for Silver Eye, your new album, which part of the woods would you say you've ended up in now?
Well, I think we've got out of the woods. That's what I... because we finished it, you know. So I'd like to think that, I suppose we're in a different bit because now we're trying to figure out how to do it live, and that's always a bit of a kind of reckoning for all the excesses that you indulged in while you were enjoying, you know, the happy hours of frolicking around in the studio. And then now somebody is saying, well, okay, all very well, but where are you going to get that sort of that whip crack from that you've used, you know? Or where are you going to get those 400 strings that you layered up in the studio? So sometimes, you know, there's a bit of a head scratch that happens at this point. But, I think, you know, the writing is fun, but it's also scary because, yeah, you spend a lot of the time being completely at sea. You don't know where you are. You don't know what's happening or why.
And I've also just read the lyrics for the song Happiness. We can see your troubled soul. Give us all your money. We'll make it better. So if money isn't the key to happiness, what would you say is?
The key to happiness? I tell you, it's quite interesting. I think if you ask yourself whether you're happy or not, it's usually because you're not. And I think...
So you're saying I'm unhappy?
Yeah, if you're saying, am I happy, you're kind of saying, I am unhappy. So I think one of the keys is not being aware of whether you are or not. And in order to be not aware of it, then you have to be kind of distracted, I think. And so you have to be engaged in doing something that you're interested in. I think that's definitely, for me, that's part of it.
I agree in the sense that you have to be engaged in something that you're interested in, but I wouldn't necessarily use the word distracted because distracted just, I feel like, suggests that you should be busy and remain busy until the end of your life when you've distracted yourself enough from the fact that you may or may not be happy or not.
Yes, it's quite of a good, maybe, yes, distracted is a little bit of a flippant way of putting it, isn't it? But I think it's sort of, yeah, if you thought about the fact that you're going to die, you know, if you try to deal with the metaphysics of life, you know, on a daily basis, you know, you definitely would not be happy because the reality of it is appalling, really. We're all going to die. So,
what a wonderful way to slowly wrap up the interview. By the way, we're all going to die.
Yes, but I suppose it's learning how to feel happy about it, maybe.
Or just be content with it. And what would you say is the best environment for your sound?
Oh, I don't know. It's not up to me. I mean, I enjoy listening to music in loads of different places. I find if I'm in shops, I hear quite a lot of music. I quite like shopping to it and washing up, doing things in the house, around about. You know, you can put music on. You don't have to, it's not like a film or the telly. You can do other things while you're listening to it. I think I like doing that.
I understand you come from a classical background as well. How would you say your tastes in particular have contributed to producing this new album?
My taste? I think I like things to be... it's difficult, isn't it? Because I think classical music usually takes longer to express itself. But I think... That's a good question. I've not really asked myself that very much. What is it about... I think classical music is a way of listening to music which gets you used to the idea of layers. I think that I quite like music that's, you know, working not just literally layers of sound, but also maybe it's working on more than one level.
I think it's also just... classical music would teach you patience.
Do you think so? Have you been sitting in very hard seats listening to long operas or something?
No, but that could be an idea.
Yeah, well, I hopefully, I think, I mean, you know, there's I'm just interested in all music, to be honest with you. I think I did start playing classical music, and I used to play the oboe in an orchestra, and it's a lovely way of hearing music, you know, sitting in the middle of it. But it also is a lovely, it makes you want to play with other people. I think music is a, should be a, I worry about all those people that sit on their own in their rooms making it on a computer, that they're not, you know, they're missing out on actually playing music with other people. So I think, you know, that's something I enjoy when Alice and I are working together, because a lot of the time we are, we're playing, where, you know, she's singing or playing and I'm playing and probably not singing. It's a two-way thing.
I understand. And other than music, is there anything else that inspires the sound behind Goldfrapp?
I don't know. I mean, I think everything you do will sort of feed in somehow to what you're doing. I think I like film music. I think that has been, but that's music, so that's cheating. You know, you're asking about things that aren't music.
Bird, I suppose, song, it's inspired by a film.
Yes, well, that's right. You know, because you can imagine the film that goes with what you're doing, and I think sometimes we do that because it's easier to talk about what might be happening in the scene that is the music, in terms of low, high, long, short, you know, slow, fast. There's not many words. There's not many adjectives that are specific to music, you know, and it hasn't really got any words to describe it. I think that's a good thing, really. But it does mean that if you're trying to communicate with somebody else, you have to sort of, you probably borrow from visual metaphors and talking as if you were scoring a film to an imaginary film. I think that's something that we do quite often.
There seems to be a lot of influence with film and theatre in your work.
Well, drama, I think, yeah. I think, you know, like there to be drama. We want there to be emotion and colour and character and, yeah, we want something to be happening.
Thank you so much for speaking to us at FBI Radio. Just quickly, is there
anything else you'd like to add?
Sorry. Is there anything else you'd like to add or anything you think I might have missed?
No, I think you've covered it all absolutely from edge to edge.
Okay, no worries. Thank you so much, and I hope you have a nice sleep and a lovely, lovely morning.
Yeah, and you have a lovely rest of the day.